Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. Very hopeful that next week I'll have art on my walls because this is just depressing to still be recording in an empty basement. But Perry, we talked last week, right, about some free agents that were out there that maybe the Packers could target and kind of that second really small wave of free agency. They're still out there, the people that we talked about and mentioned. But the Packers did make an additional roster move yesterday. The news broke that they were signing Mecole Hardman, the wide receiver most recently with the Kansas City Chiefs, had that very brief stint with the Jets, half of a season, but otherwise has been with the Chiefs for the entirety of his career. Initial thoughts on that? When that happened, did it move the needle for you at all? Were you excited? Were you surprised?
Definitely surprised. Like when I got an Adam Schefter like push notification, it was like a new wide receiver in Green Bay. And I was like, huh?
Right. Who's left?
Yeah. And then it was Mecole Hardman. And I was like, okay. And then I put my phone down. Like it just did nothing for me. That's exactly what happened last night. Naturally, as some of our longtime listeners know, the family group chat obviously had to discuss it. He did have a brief stint with the Jets, as you mentioned. He did not perform well, so the family was not into the signing. They called it low risk, low reward. But like, I don't know, man. We were talking about this a little bit pre-show, and this is how I feel like he steps into the kick return role pretty immediately, especially if Keyshawn has, you know, been very vocal about not wanting to do that anymore. And is probably like wide receiver 4 on this roster with Christian Watson out. With Christian Watson back, he's wide receiver 5. Like I love a body, right? I love like the idea of like, you know, there's 90 guys that go to camp. So you want to have someone come in, longtime vet. If he decides to have a resurgence in Green Bay, like by all means, do I feel confident that that's going to happen? Not necessarily. We can talk about if you roster a guy who really only does kick returns for you, like whether that's valuable or not, like we can have that debate. I like the idea of having another option back there. Because also, like, Jaden Reed was not it on punt returns. So, like, you know, there's certainly, I think, like, something cooking with that. And I think Keyshawn playing 100% of defensive snaps now, like, you probably need an alternative. But as far as, like, wide receiver is still a need, right? Like, it's still a – he's not your wide receiver 1, and he never has been. So – It was not the wide receiver free agency news that I think we're looking for.
Yeah, I forget that like his, I mean, I forget that he was a second round draft pick and that he had such a prolific rookie season. And, you know, obviously he's been on Super Bowl winning teams. So the pedigree is there. He's played with championship caliber NFL teams, certainly with some of the best in the business with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But yeah, I kind of had the same reaction that you did where I saw that it happened, rationalizing it was, yeah, this is probably your kick returner and he's probably like a deep threat with Christian Watson gone. Like he's got the vertical speed that you could want to stretch the field. But again, as far as like where he lands on the roster, I don't necessarily think it moves the needle a ton. I think he's still not like in your starting 11 personnel, you know, maybe in certain sub packages, but I think the perk, you know, is again, if he takes over special teams duties, then Jaden Reed's not out there. Keyshawn Nixon doesn't have to be out there after doing 100%, like you said, of defensive snaps. But yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit pre-show. It is tough. I mean, these signings haven't really worked for Green Bay, right? They had Sammy Watkins, they had Devin Funchess. Like they've taken some swings on bringing in vets and saying like maybe there'll be a career resurgence, and then they don't really make it through camp, or it just fizzles out and they don't see the field. And we'll see what happens with him. Obviously, I think that there is certainly more of a need than there has been, especially with Watson being out until probably November. But I think at this point you fill that role with a draft pick. You know, yeah. I don't know if it was necessarily the swing that would have changed much.
I appreciate the swing. Like I do. I don't like I especially if, again, it's so low risk. I mean, they're right. not taking on any kind of big contract. They're not taking on multiple years and lots of money. He is only 27. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's not kind of, it's not a Sammy Watkins where it's like you're getting someone that's very clearly over the hump. I don't mind it. Again, you can cut him. Like, he doesn't even need to like make the roster. So see if you can, you know, hit a pop fly for a run. Like, I'm not expecting a home run here, but a run, a double.
Are we okay? I was gonna say, are we fine with it being a double? Does it have to be like
you can get a double out of a Mecole Hardman, you know? And I completely agree with you that like he's not gonna be an every down wide receiver. That's okay. But they still need that guy. And so it's a little bit, I can see why I'm not necessarily frustrated. Like I said, I looked at it and I said, huh, okay. And I put my phone back down. But I can see why fans are like, so are you going to make like an actual move that really like pushes this team forward after watching the offense sputter a bit last season? Like, I can see why there's frustration there.
Yeah, so let's shift then a little bit and talk about the approach going into the draft, right? Because we've talked about the sound bites and everything that we've heard, you know, the combine clips from Goody are recirculating about urgency and what that means. Everybody thought initially that it meant that they were going to go into free agency very aggressively. They kind of attacked it the way that I guess I historically would have expected them to. But there's still plenty of holes going into the draft, and this isn't a year where they have like 15 picks and an abundance of options. So I guess the question then is like, how do you feel going into the draft, knowing how many holes they have to fill, how many picks they have, and what that looks like? Do you think that they can do enough? And we'll talk about the NFC North like next week or something in the offseason and how they've improved their rosters. Like, where do they stack up right now in the NFC as far as being a contending team?
I think it's hard to look at that right now. I mean, obviously coming out of last season, they're third, but like the other two teams have changed so much and have had more significant changes, I think, than the Packers have. So it's hard to say in terms of stack up, but from a off-season like team roster building perspective, I always look at this as like every team has their philosophy, right? And as the league changes, you like to see your team somewhat evolve with mm-hmm. the times. But like the Packers are a winning, historically winning franchise. So the model doesn't need to change all that much. And I think Goot has done a pretty good job of like balancing that out, right? Of like sticking with what has historically been successful with the Packers and evolving himself with where the NFL is. And I just think like we, a little bit, those of us not in the room, like lose sight of that. Like, they could have loved a lot of different players in this free agents class who wasn't even that good, to be quite honest. Like, I didn't like, there was nobody in this class I was like, we need them on a bang on the table, right?
It wasn't a Xavier McKinney year. Like,
it was not a Xavier McKinney year. It was like year. And a lot of players that I would have loved ended up just like staying with their own teams, mm-hmm. which, okay, those teams saw their value. Great. Like, you know, good for them. So yeah, I mean, did Goot probably make a bunch of phone calls and be aggressive for some players that he didn't get? I'm sure. And that just happens every year. He did fill two needs, two, I think, that feel like secondary needs. And that's why it still feels a little bit scary going into the draft.
Yeah.
I think if the two needs that he had filled were edge and wide receiver, and what he needed to fill in the draft were interior offensive lineman and corner, we'd feel a lot different. Right, if it was inverted. But because edge and wide receiver are still the holes open, I think that's why I feel a little bit more apprehensive going into the draft, because those are really big shoes to fill for an immediate need. And I don't feel great about a first round pick, or a draft pick, a first round pick too. Potentially a first round pick can make an immediate impact, but I never like going into a season saying the draft picks must impact now. Now, again, like the last two drafts they have, so maybe you should expect impact immediately. But I don't like going into the draft with that expectation.
Yeah. And I think if you're relying on the draft, you are expecting it. It almost becomes drafting for need and not best player available, which is also something that Goody preaches all the time. You know, we have expectations that they're going to go in and take an edge rusher and an interior defensive lineman and a wide receiver. And if the board falls in a terrible way, like we've seen it do in previous years, where we thought the Packers would take a wide receiver for like the entirety of 2020 and they just kept getting snatched up, like that is bound to happen. That could very well happen. And then, you know, if you go into the draft having a laundry list of needs, you're not sure you're going to cross all of those off, which is a scary place to be. And I think what's interesting, I have no problems with the moves that the Packers made. Like the Aaron Banks signing doesn't bother me at all. I know some people didn't love it, but I agree with you that I think had the positions been flipped, we would probably approach this a little bit differently. Like you said, you know, the Packers love who they have available for them on the offensive line. Would you like more depth at like swing tackle? Yeah, of course. But you've got Jordan Morgan. You know, what's to say that you can't play him at left guard and Sean Ryan at right guard and still move Elton Jenkins, and then you didn't invest in Aaron Banks and you've maybe took a swing on someone else? And I think,
yeah,
I think knowing also the what positions we're expecting them to draft makes this a little tricky too, because obviously Rashawn Gary is a very good football player. LVN, we're still waiting to see who he is, but historically we haven't necessarily seen Goody hit on immediate impact edge rushers, and he kind of needs an immediate impact edge rusher going into 2025 for us to feel like fully comfortable with that defensive front. So it's a good class to need an edge rusher. It's a really good class to need interior defensive help. But again, you're waiting to see, you know, if those swings pan out. And it's a lot easier to take those gambles on guys in free agency that have proven, you know, they have a history of success behind them that are vets, and you can kind of plug and play a little bit easier than you can like a third round pick, you know, at edge.
Yeah, 100%. And I look at, like, if you're looking at net positive versus like additions and subtractions, right? The only change that was made in that room was a subtraction with TJ Slayton. Now we know that like TJ Slayton is not a world beater and, you know, et cetera, but it just made the need feel that much bigger.
Yeah.
Which again, like TJ Slayton should not necessarily, but it's like you go from maybe needing, you know, you need an edge rusher and you certainly need someone who is going to be able to bring any kind of consistent pressure, to now also needing additional, like very clear run stuffing depth. And they don't have that on the roster right now anymore either. I think to your point, about like waiting on the draft, like for the draft to happen and like looking for picks, is again, it's just, I mean, they're not doing that. They're not sitting in the room thinking that way. But as a fan, which everybody listening to this is a fan, is going to make for a less fun night, which is unfortunate, or 3 days. Because instead of being like, ooh, who are they going to pick? You're just waiting for the position that you want. And I would rather my team do best player available, because at the end of the day, like the Packers are a very good football team. They made the playoffs. Like there are a few impact players away, but like there's still a few impact players away. I want your thoughts on wide receiver.
Okay.
Just because, like, again, free agency was, I mean, your options were DK Metcalf at $150 million, which I don't know. You get DK Metcalf and his attitude, which I personally don't think fits in this Packers locker room at all. I would have been happy if he joined because he's an amazing player, but I think personality fit was a bit off. Davante Adams, who supposedly was like never an option, declining Cooper Kupp. We always knew T. Higgins and Jamar Chase were going back to the Bengals. It was just a matter of for how much. And then you kind of get out of that tier. So like, are we really mad about something real, or are we just nervous from watching this offense in the last, you know, month of the season and about what they're going to do about it?
I think the tricky part here too is that we expected this room to be able to do enough. And I think at full strength, they probably could have. And I'm not saying that, like, if Christian Watson doesn't tear his ACL, they beat the Eagles, right? Like, that's not the conversation that I'm trying to start. But they had to deal with Luke Musgrave injuries. They expected to have him as another key cog in this offense. Tucker Kraft had a really, really good sophomore season. Like, the two of them together, fully healthy, should be incredible to watch in their third year as impact tight ends for this offense. And that'll mitigate some of the need for these, like, big play wide receivers. Jaden Reed is so close to that 1,000 yards, right? He hit 1,000 yards from scrimmage, not quite there yet from receiving. But we saw the way that that LaFleur utilized him in the offense, right? Like, he was a focal point. The tricky part, I think, isn't necessarily who they have now, but it's, to me, knowing that you've got Watson and Dobbs going into contract years. And the Packers probably aren't paying both of them. So do you take a flyer on Watson because you know who he is when he's healthy? Do you bring back Dobbs because he's really consistent and available? Do you pass on both of them, or do you try to offer both of them team-friendly deals to come back? And then how much have you moved the needle for your room in general? So to me, I don't think that the urgency of getting a wide receiver was for 2025. I think it was knowing that this room could look wildly different next offseason, and you're going to need somebody like a draft pick to come in and stabilize. Because right after Watson and Dobbs, then you've got Reed and Wicks. Like, there's always going to be, and we talked about it with the Jordan Love contract, like, you're paying your quarterback while you have all of this really, really cheap offensive talent. And that offensive talent is going to be cheap for one more year, and that's it. And then you're going to have to start paying these guys big bucks. And who do they pay? Do they pay anybody? They probably draft someone. But I think a vet would have kind of eased some of that. And I don't think Hardman's going to be the guy that, like, eases that burden at all. So that, I understand the desire from that perspective, but no, I'm with you that I don't think any of these free agent receivers would have been like the fix all. I didn't necessarily see them fitting as like what Green Bay really needed in that room.
Yeah. Cause if you're thinking about like, okay, you're signing this impact free, this is how I think about it at least. I'm like, okay, well, you want to sign this impact free agent. They're probably older, right? Mm-hmm. Davante Adams is what? 32. You're really hoping.
I'm 32, so not even yet. So don't call him older.
Just kidding. Older for the
NFL. Just kidding.
You know, my point being is that, like, this is not an investment. This is right now. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the win now mode vibe, because that's where this team is. They need to win now. They have Jordan on the contract, like you just said. Everyone else is cheaper. So can we get this piece in this offense that can kind of put them over the edge? I just don't think that there was a single wide receiver in this free agency class that was going to do that, to your point. If there was, sure. But it felt like a really like cheap hit of dopamine that would not, when come time for the season, actually like done anything for this team. If you actually think about what you're talking about, which is like investing long term, but also like you're still trying to win now. I feel like the Packers are in a place, and this is my overall assumption. I don't have too much. I'm not talking to anyone at 1265. So I don't know. But based on the way that I feel like they're making moves, we'll see what they do in the draft. But, and the way that they talk about their offense is like, I feel like they expect a jump from everybody. I feel like they expect a jump from Reed. I feel like they expect a jump from Wicks. And again, like it's hard to be like, oh, they're basing all their decisions on like potential. Well, like, yeah, I mean, isn't that what
the draft pick is?
Like, that's what draft and develop is that they see where these guys are going to. And I also hope that Reed and Wicks, I think we know who Dobbs is now, but Reed and Wicks and Kraft and Musgrave all take that next step. Do I still want them to add to that offense? 100%. 100%. I would love to see them draft a wide receiver. Am I saying I need it to be in the first round? No, but adding talent is important. Would it have been nice? I mean, if Mecole Hardman is an addition, fantastic. But I see a world where they're like, we still really like who we have. We still see them taking a step forward. Maybe we need to readjust how we're using them, or we need to get Jordan healthier and get them all on the same page. We're going to add talent, but like, can we take a collective like deep breath on this?
And I think too, like, you can see the plan or the pathway. Like, Tucker Kraft led the team in receiving touchdowns last season. He had 7. Jaden Reed had 6. Then Dontavian Wicks had 5. You know, he, towards the end of the season, was like the security blanket that we called Romeo Dobbs all season. He was emerging as the red zone threat for Jordan Love. And Romeo Dobbs and Watson both over 600 yards. Like, I know that we talked, you know, with Mina, and we talked on this show a ton about, do they need a wide receiver one? Would it make an impact? Like, the Chiefs didn't have one, and they went to the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that I think the Packers should, like, quote unquote, settle, but I do think they're really close. And I think that Jaden Reed can still be wide receiver one if you want a wide receiver one in this offense. I think that Wicks, again, is still ascending. I think players like Romeo Dobbs always have value. They're like the James Jones of your locker room, where, you know, they just are reliable for like a good 70 yards a game and 60 yards a game. And that's like kind of what you look to them for in big moments. Like, you know, they have the ability to get it done. But yeah, I think they need just like a little infusion.
Yeah.
And I think the infusion is also a security blanket, because again, this room could look vastly different in 2026. And knock on wood here, but if you have any injury, you're already out Watson. And I think that's a big piece too, is if you lose Reed or Dobbs or even Wicks, and then you're trotting out like Dobbs, Wicks, and Hardman as your starting three, like, that's kind of scary.
Nice.
So that is also why you need that infusion of juice through the draft.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like to think about it. I mean, we always do the comparison point to the 2010 team, but I think it's really apt in this scenario, because like, Rodgers had Greg Jennings and he had Jordy, but Jordy was still ascending. And then they got Devontae, and we remember Devontae's struggles, and he had Donald Driver. And like, I feel like you allowed Jordy and Devontae to become the ones that they ended up being because you had Driver and Jennings for the time. I think James was always a bit of like that perfect two. But the Packers don't have any of those guys right now. So you're watching the Jordy and the Devontae. Hopefully that's what's happening, right? Is like Reed is becoming one of those, or Christian Watson is becoming one of those when he comes back from injury. But like, it's much harder to stomach the growing pains when you don't have the consistency from somebody else over the top. And that's just the nature of like the construction of this roster at the moment. You know, would we be able to stomach it a little bit more if Devontae had ended up taking that contract and staying through the development and the transition, you know, if he had been that Donald Driver, right? Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, we'd be having a much different conversation, because we'd have our 1,000-yard guy, and everyone else, we can just say, you know, let them develop. They're coming. They're on their way.
Right.
We just don't have the consistency, which is very necessary. I'm not negating the necessity of it. They want to win now. They should win now. So it's just, I think, they need to find a way to have both.
And I think that's what makes the conversation so hard, Like, it's such a terrible time. It's never a good time to tear your ACL. But for Watson to miss a contract season, you know, not coming back till like November, it's really hard for the Packers to assess, because I think you want both of those guys in your offense. Like, you know what Watson is. You know who Dobbs is. You've developed both of those players in your offense. They have a relationship with Jordan Love. Watson and Love were connecting on so many deep shots towards the end of the season that did not look easy and were not easy in the beginning of the season. Like, there's a progression, and you see them growing and you see them developing. And that's why it would be really hard to go into the offseason and be like, okay, well, you know, Dobbs is going to Vegas and Watson's going to San Fran or like wherever. Like, if you invest so much into draft and develop, and you develop really good players, and I don't know financially if they can retain both. I would like them to retain both at this point. I don't know if that's like hot takey, because I think, again, Dobbs can be like your James Jones. Watson can be potentially your wide receiver one or two in a really good offense. And it's tough to wonder what the Packers are going to do here, because, again, are they going to pay both those guys when they have to pay Reed the following year? They probably want to pay Reed more than either of those guys at this point. So, like, just the Jenga of, like, how do you balance this out? And who do you prioritize, I think, is really tough, because to have the James Jones and the Donald Driver and the Greg Jennings, like, they need a second contract. Somebody has to get the second contract to be the vet in the room.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think at this point, not that we're getting into contract talk, but I do think it at this point, like, unfortunately for Christian, his number just went down. Good for the Packers, bad for Christian as a person, but I believe, and I, for some reason, fans see him very strangely. I believe he is like almost the one. He's almost the one. He was fully healthy this past season until the ACL. He had the highest catch percentage of every receiver on the team. I think he's the biggest impact player for sure, aside from Josh Jacobs. When he is on that field, he changes the entire dynamic. So I'm really, to your point, just like really bummed for him timing wise, period. But like timing wise, we'll see what happens with him and Dobbs. I mean, also Dobbs's concussions kind of throw right. a question mark in there for me. Like, I think he needs to have a healthy season as well for his own personal, not for his like, not for his contract or anything like that. But it's a lot of questions on that offense all of a sudden this offseason, which, again, to bring it back to the draft, is like fully why I think they need to infuse from this draft. But unless they take someone high, is that person going to be impactful? I don't know.
Yeah. And I also love that we went into this show going, we have to talk about Mecole Hardman, and that's it. And somehow we ended up at almost 30 minutes having a very detailed wide receiver conversation. But any final thoughts then before we put a bow on this one? Because it's all worth tracking and worth noticing, but I don't think we're going to get really any real answers here until the actual draft comes in a month.
I think it's just a fun conversation to have with you. I like the, like you called it, the Jenga of it all, but just the puzzle pieces. And we certainly are going to have, not a relaxing draft weekend, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see who they pick. And I now need to start, you know, paying attention.
Yeah, definitely going to be looking deeply at wide receivers. Normally don't spend a ton of time on there just because I prefer the defense, but wide receiver is certainly a priority in this one. And luckily for the Packers, there's some really fun wide receivers in this class that I think would fit their offense very well. But that is all the time that we have for today's show. Thank you so much for listening to Packs What She Said. You can find us on your social media at PWSS Podcast or at Packs What She Said. Please like and subscribe to the show if you don't already on YouTube, Spotify, everywhere you find your favorite podcast. You can find Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. And we'll be back next week with more off-season content, potentially about the NFC North. We'll see, unless any news happens in the meantime. But that is all. And we'll be back next week. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.